So I'm going to put an image on the screen for our YouTube watchers/listeners now.
Yes.
Connor, how would you describe this image?
That is the master.
That's the master. But what? How would you describe this iteration of the master?
Oh, it's beautiful. Well, it's original. Well, it's fantastic.
Be honest about it.
It looks a bit like tinfoil.
Well, what's its skin like? Is it kind of...
Like charred.
Yeah, it's a little bit like burnt.
Yeah, like burnt, yeah.
A little bit crisp. A little bit...
Oh! Oh.
Go on, Connor. Is it...
A little bit crispy.
It's a little bit crispy.
Oh!
It could be...
Oh, I
A little
see.
Bit crispy. Pro.
Oh, let's wow.
Our lovely guest this week, ladies and gents. It's Crispy Pro. Wow. Woo! Hi!
Woo!
So crispy.
Woo!
Wow.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, I love this.
Oh,
stuff.
Wow.
The
it's
king
a party.
Is here.
Here he is.
Party.
Wow.
How are
Thanks,
you doing
boys.
Today, Crispy? Welcome
I'm
to the show, mate.
Welcome excellent. To the show.
Thank you so much for having me. What an excellent intro. I knew exactly what you were doing as soon as you said, I'm going to get an image of the master. I'm like, oh, okay, I know exactly where this is going.
It's the Crispy
yes, thanks
boy.
For having me on, boys. I appreciate it.
No,
of course. What an honor. This is crazy, actually.
Yeah.
Insane. It's so great to have you on here. Huge fans, obviously. So
anyone who doesn't know, Crispy is a YouTuber/YouTuber.
Correct.
And now a podcaster in
yes.
his own right. How good.
A Who podcaster?
Very much so.
Yeah.
You guys were my inspiration.
Oh, sorry.
Don't even try. How long have you had your YouTube channel for now?
It will be 10 years in January. Can you believe?
Damn.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow. So it's a long time.
I think me and Connor have both been watching for like... Probably the majority of that time, like close
yeah.
to
that's
seven
crazy.
Or 8 years, I reckon.
Yeah, I think Boys. About. I think oh. I started in. So I would have been in year 9. So that would have been, God, 2014.
Yeah,
something like that. 2014.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I only started it in 2013. So you guys are there. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Regardless.
No, thanks for all the content you've made over the years. It's been a good time, and it's always nice to have someone. I love the British, and I love hearing them and their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to have an Australian voice in there.
Exactly. So, that's exactly what I was going to say. And for coming on, I was like, oh, you know, the boys, they usually crack a beer. But I was listening just then to your Sleep No More one. And both of you are on a cleanse right now, so I'll just have this Bundy by myself. No worries.
I felt bad asking. I was going to say, like, should I message you and say, do you want to crack a beer? I'm like, I don't want to pressure my guests into feeling like they have to crack a beer on the show with us.
Drinking all on his own.
Mate, I'm Australian. I will understand, okay? I will understand cracking one. That's absolutely fine.
It's that health cleanse. Yeah, exactly. Next time, we will crack beers together.
I'll be on a health cleanse then, boys.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
That's when our health cleanse ends and yours begins. Oh, God.
So, Face the Raven is the episode we're talking about today.
Woohoo!
Mm-hmm. Was there any reason why you're on this episode, Crispy? Was that a you thing or a Connor thing?
That's a mate. Connor thing. I'm just
Interesting.
Here.
Sorry. Okay. I was like, hey, you know, take this one. I really love the episode. So I was like, this would be a great one to have you on for.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a bone to pick, actually, about this episode. So it's a good job that we have this.
Okay.
So on your podcast, Crispy, which is Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast, which is a great listen and everyone should go listen to it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We can talk about that in a bit. But on your podcast, I commented on your underrated...
Oh, here we go.
Was it the underrated episodes? Yes. And
was
I said,
hot takes or something?
No, I think it was the underrated one. It was like a month or so ago.
All right.
And I said this episode and got immediately shut down. And I
By
was like,
me?
My heart. No, I think it was Troy.
Oh, well, I was going to say, that's very much a Troy thing.
Oh, dear.
No, I think like a lot of people... Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like an enjoyed episode. I don't know if everyone raves about it. I don't know. Not as much as I'd like people
Ravens
to rave
about
it.
Yeah. No,
Ravens about it.
I didn't know really what to expect when, like, you know, I did a little bit of research. I try to see what people think about it and stuff, like re-reviews and stuff, like IMDb and all that shit. And... yeah, it's interesting. I've always like really loved it. So I think it's really good, and I'm interested to hear what other people say about it. But yeah, it was a little bit of a mixed response. I think that's the whole of season 9 in a nutshell, to be honest. Yeah. Like it's a bit of a mixed bag of people either really like it or really just don't like it.
Yeah. I think it's very up and down though in quality
all
the way through.
It is. It yeah, really is.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
All right, shall we get into it? Oh, God, Crispy's going to hear our lovely intro live.
I'm ready.
Show.
I'm so excited.
All right, God. Let's do it. We are the 50% Doctor Who podcast. I'm Aiden.
I'm Connor.
That is...
Crispy!
Yay!
Hey!
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram, @50Doctor, and watch our lovely faces on the YouTube channel at the 50% Doctor Who podcast YouTube channel. And here is the lovely sting that makes us cringe day and night.
Oh, wow. I love it. 50%
podcast.
Wow. How it gets good. Better every time.
50. No, it doesn't.
It just is amazing. I just can't believe how great it is. Wow.
What were your first thoughts when you listened to an episode, Crispy, and that came on?
I didn't realize it was a pre-recorded thing, and I thought it was like an ad-lib the first time. And I was like, oh, yeah. All right, let's get into it. And then I listened to another one. I was like, oh, this is the
there
official
it is again.
One. Okay, all right, no worries.
I think it originally starts as an ad-lib for the first time. I can't remember what episode it was. It was one of the early episodes. I think it started as an ad-lib, and then you made a remix for it next week. And I was like, this is awesome.
So good. Nothing compared to our Lord and Savior of remixes, Crispy, over here, though.
Stop.
Man, how many of those bangers have you made over the years?
Oh, I've got the two Taylor Swift ones, which are the bane of my existence, but I love them.
Classic.
Love them very closely.
Love them.
I've got I Heart Heart the Doctor, absolute bangaroony. I don't know. I haven't done a song in a while. I should.
Lest we forget, David Tennant is my dad.
Okay, no. When podcast. I say I haven't done it in a while, I have done some for the podcast. David Tennant is my dad. Is a personal favorite.
An original artist, Crispy himself. I love it.
Very good.
Yeah, I love it.
If you want to check out any of those videos, them lovely videos, go check out Crispy Pro's YouTube channel. How good?
Amazing.
All right. Before we get into Face the Raven, though. Let's talk about you, Crispy, shall we? Is that okay?
Oh, that's fine.
You'll allow it?
Get ready.
I'll allow it.
So, we always ask, whenever we have a new guest on the show, what got you into Doctor Who?
Okay. Well, it was a strange story. It's not very straightforward. I was at my auntie's place all the way back in 2010, and we were having dinner, and then in the background there was... The Lodger with starring James Corden. That was my first interaction with the show, and just in the background was like, I was like, excuse me, can you help me please and I was like, what is going on and I caught the tail end of that, and I was like, this is some weird sci-fi nonsense, I don't really know what's going on. But then I tuned in the week after, which of course was the Pandorica Opens. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm in love with it. I am head over heels for this. And then I went back and, you know, got all the DVDs from my local state library. So I just watched everything. Pretty sure like my third episode was The End of Time. So, as you do.
To experience the David
Yeah,
Tenner.
That's crazy.
Literally.
Wow.
And then from then on, I don't know, I obviously fell in love with the show. I haven't shut up about it for over a decade. So, I don't know. I love it. I love it a lot.
Awesome. That must have been a pretty short gap between you watching the show and starting your YouTube channel, right?
Well, it's funny. Like I started watching at the tail end of 2010, and then 2011. I remember my favorite episode of all time is The Impossible Astronaut, just because that was the first time I watched it live with the rest of the world, and it felt like, I don't know, it was just a huge thing. And that episode obviously has the Doctor's death in it, and I was like, what's going on? I showed like everyone at school. And then from then on, I was like, I'm going to make a YouTube channel. But I didn't set out to make a Doctor Who YouTube channel. It was going to be a gaming one, because I was like, I'm going to be the next PewDiePie. That's genius. That's easy. Easy done. And then I played some of the adventure games, and one of those videos got like 50 views, and I'm like, I'm famous. I am so famous right now. So then I uploaded like a Clara theory, and that got like 1,000 views. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to make a Doctor Who channel and talk about that for the rest of my days. And here I am. So to answer your question, it was only, maybe like a year and a bit from like watching, like first seeing the show and then starting the channel, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wow. Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, that is insane. I remember, I think one of my favorite videos from back in the day was the one where you flew to go to the premiere for Deep Breath and met Peter Capaldi, which is not something that a lot of people can say. That is pretty crazy. You met
Yeah.
Daddy P. The man himself.
I met Daddy P. I said, hello, Daddy P. Nice to meet you.
Hello, Crispy. I remember that.
Hello, baby Crispy.
I love
that. Do you want me to touch on that story?
Yeah.
Sure, please. I'd love to hear it.
It's a very quick one. I've told this one before. But there was an ABC competition, and they were like, how do you hard heart the doctor? So I made this silly little rap. It didn't win the competition at all. But the people at the BBC saw it and were like, hey, we like this kid. And then they flew me out to Sydney and were like, oh, you're just going to do some like interviews and stuff. And then we got to watch the Deep Breath as part of like the Doctor Who World Tour.
That's so cool, though.
Which was awesome. Like seeing an exclusive like weeks before the episode comes out. It was very special. Mm-hmm. And then, the BBC manager guy was like, oh, hey, come backstage. You're going to meet Peter Capaldi right now. And I was like, what? Here I am. Grade 11 me. I don't know. It was something else. And then like we go backstage, get to his dressing room, and he's not there. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I turn around. He's like, hello, Crispy. I'm like, oh, what? Get out of here. And he was so nice. And
that's iconic.
Because Jenna Coleman was there as well. And they like after the screening of Deep Breath, they were going to have this like Q&A with the audience. And they were like half an hour like late to that because Peter Capaldi wanted to spend time talking to me. And that was that was the biggest honor I've ever had in my life. And I do not take that for granted at all.
Huge. That's amazing.
So yeah, I'm very like insane. I'm just very, very fortunate for all the opportunities that have come along with, this YouTube channel right now, like everything from obviously meeting Peter Capaldi and then like literally today meeting you two fine gentlemen. And I'm sure this won't be the last time we speak. So I'm just saying like the Doctor Who is so much bigger than us. You know, like, would we have talked without this show? Maybe. I don't know. I've never been to Perth.
That's the same with me and Connor, though. Like, we met through the show.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We met through the show. We met, like, pretty much our main group in high school. It was strangely all connected.
Like, people we knew.
Yeah. It was, like, all through Doctor Who. Like, weirdly enough, it was all connected through that.
Yeah.
I like
and,
that.
And with Aiden and my best friend Dan, I'm still really close to both of them, and that started through Doctor Who, which is insane. Like it feels like a sign in life almost. As cheesy as it sounds, it felt like,
I like
a bit
cheese.
Of a purpose, you know. Yeah,
cheese.
You love cheese, you know.
We like Doctor Who, we like cheese.
I love Doctor Who, and I love my friends, and it just kind of like it all just came together, and it was somehow it just all worked out, and it was weirdly because of like Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. So
it's a beautiful. I get what you mean.
Very good.
Yeah.
Did I hear you say on your podcast that you are like the like BBC ambassador of Doctor Who in Australia or something?
I signed a contract a long, long time ago that I am apparently the official Australian correspondent for Doctor Who. Awesome.
That's very special.
It hasn't come in handy. I don't know if I'm still on in their little system or whatever. But at one time, that was me. So I like went on the fan show a few times.
Whovians? You went on Whovians, didn't you?
I was briefly interviewed on Whovians, and I made a video with Rove on my channel, which is a crazy thing to say.
That was
subtlest flex I've ever done. Oh yeah, video with Rose. I mean Rove, not Rose. Flex. If I got a video with Rose, that'd be something else. But yeah,
Billy Piper.
Crazy. I love it.
How good. All right then.
Hell of a career.
Well, we do have. You know, this is meant to be like an icebreaker challenge thing, but I feel like we've already slightly broken the ice, but we're going to do it anyways. This is a game. We introduced it with Josh, and what we're going to do is going to ask you some very quick-fire questions, and you've got to answer first thing that comes to mind, all right? Super quick,
okay.
And then maybe me and Connor will take some mental notes,
yep.
And we'll might circle back to some of these ideas down the road, all right?
Okay, I'm ready.
It's time for Speedy Who. Go Sonic. We love it. All right. Are you ready, Crispy?
So ready.
So ready. Let's go. All right. Favorite Doctor Who episode?
The Impossible Astronaut.
Least favorite Doctor Who episode?
Fear Her.
Wow.
Tomato sauce, fridge or pantry?
Pantry, sorry.
Favorite Doctor? No, that's the right answer.
Oh, good. Favorite Doctor? Capaldi, probably.
One trip in the TARDIS, past, present or future?
Future.
Last meal on Earth, what would it be?
There's a South African sausage called Boerewors, which is so good.
Wow. A classic Doctor you'd like to watch more of?
Tom Baker.
Favorite TV show outside of Doctor Who?
It was Broadchurch, but I don't know. I just started Schitt's Creek. It's great.
Yeah. First impressions of Connor and I, either today or on the listening to the podcast ages ago.
It's nice to see fellow Aussies doing this stuff.
Oh yeah.
Scariest episode of Doctor Who?
The Night Terrors.
Favorite companion which only features in one episode and consists solely of a robot head. Handles.
Oh my gosh, it's Handles. Yeah. I was like, does Nardole have a robot head? Yes.
Yeah, I thought you were going for Nardole at first, and I'm like, well, one episode though.
Is because there was a joke that caught me so off guard like years ago in one of your videos. Where I think you spoke to, because you had like a Sideman mask or something.
It was like a head on a shelf.
It's like, please let me down from the shelf.
Yeah,
and it caught me so off guard. That's like my favorite thing you've ever done. That one joke.
I need to bring it back. He's stored away somewhere because he can't really be in the background here. I've just got my bed here. You can kind of see my projector there. That's all I got. I have a projector in my room. I have this cheap as camping projector, and it shines on my wall. And that's how I watch.
That's very cool.
That's so sick.
That's very cool. But yes, just for you, Aiden, I'll bring Handles back, and he'll say some more unhinged stuff.
I love it.
Why? Can I ask why? So what's the fear her hate? Man, that episode slaps hard. I fucking love it so much. Yeah, 100%. So good. I gave it a really good rating, I think.
That's like, I thought that was sarcasm.
I actually do really like it. I don't know why. Right,
yeah,
but...
and Aiden's all like, you know what? In the Forest of the Shite is actually all right.
It was funny. It's funny. Like, it's not a good episode, but it's funny.
Oh, I gave it 4.5. That's not too good, but still. Better than, you know, what Aiden gave, like a 3.5. Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Well... Look, the first time I watched that episode, I didn't give it the best chance because it was in my car. You know, like, not my car, my dad's car. And, you know, you can get, like, those DVD players.
Well,
like,
on the head of the... Yeah.
So, it was when, like, my sister and I were, like, starting to watch it. It was the first time I ever watched, like, Series 2 or whatever. And I remember Love and Monsters at the time being like, this is pretty cool. And then Fear Her came around and I'm like, what is this? And my sister was the exact opposite. She loved Fear Her, but couldn't stand Love and Monsters. Jeez. So that was my first time watching those two episodes.
Yeah,
but
wow.
I honestly haven't gone back and watched Fear Her in years. So maybe for you guys, I'll give it another go, but I don't know.
I won't stand up for here. Okay. I won't. I'm not touching that shit. Mm-hmm. But like, the one thing I will say is, it does have like this weird nostalgicness for like the London Olympics.
Oh,
I don't know.
Totally.
Yeah.
That was like
it's
the first Olympics that I kind of remember.
As well.
So that was huge. You have a lot of love for Series 6, don't you?
A lot of love for Series 6.
That's interesting because I think me and Connor doing the podcast going, and I think that was when we were in a big dry spell of No Who. Like, I think it was in COVID. Like, Flux was. Maybe being filmed, but I don't think we saw a lot of Flux being filmed.
I think
filmed,
it was just being filmed, yeah. Yeah.
It was just like here and there, we saw them on like a
little,
beach or something.
Little bits of pixel in there, yeah.
But it was like a dry spell and we were reviewing Series 6 and it really slowed down because it was like a bunch of two-parters and then it was like villain of the week, villain of the week, villain of the week, villain of the week.
Yeah.
And for us, they just weren't hitting. Mm. And I think that's like the toughest time for us to keep going with the pod. Like, we were like, fuck, this is...
That's correct, yeah.
Through
we were
six.
Struggling a bit.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Damn, well, look, it's purely just nostalgia for me. That's all. I'm sure, like, I don't know, if I gave it, like, a proper analytical, like, thing, if I watched it back-to-back and was like, oh, I've got to review this now, I might be like, you know, it probably doesn't hold up as much. But I'm just a sucker for that whole series. Like, as I've said,
that's
my
because that was the first
whole
one
series.
You watched.
Yeah.
That's
when
you watched live. Yeah.
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 So, like, that's, it's just, it's got a massive spot in my heart. But yeah, I definitely see its faults.
So many bangers though with the astronaut two-parter and Doctor's wife, Girl Who Waited, God Complex. There's some fucking bangers in there.
Yeah, yeah, there is.
Like
there
really
is.
Really great episodes. But that was notoriously like, I think before maybe like season 11, which I haven't rewatched by the way. I don't want to hang on it until I've rewatched it. But until season 11, I think season 6 was my least favorite.
Right.
But. Rewatching it, I think we found a bit more appreciation for it, but yeah, it was due in a bit of a dry spot for the podcast where we were kind of like just dragging our feet into the studio every week. Going, fuck, we have to record this.
Fitty.
Yeah, God.
Fitty.
It was the old dry spell, but yeah, rewatching all the seasons now, I think it's quite clear that there is like every season has a lot of just ups and downs. There isn't I don't even think I could pick a season that I'm like, yeah, that one was just pretty solid the whole way through. There's always just a lot of ups and downs.
I think season one's pretty...
Season one probably might be the only one I would say
I feel like a lot of people point to series four, but I don't necessarily think that's the case.
Yeah, people do, but I agree. I don't know, because I think season four gets a lot of love as well, but we found it had, until the end, it was just pretty...
Yeah, average. I think the Sontaran one.
I watched on your podcast yesterday. You said that you didn't like it. What's up with that?
Oh, I just think it's the weakest of the bunch. You know, I never really connected with that story. I like the whole Atmos thing, and I like the fact that you know, like in Partners in Crime, they had like an Atmos sticker on the taxi and stuff. I liked that whole series feels very cohesive. But I just thought that was the weakest story. I don't know. I didn't really like the main villain guy and his reasoning. He's like, we're just going to repopulate Earth. Come on. Who doesn't want to sleep with me? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know.
I think the Sontarans look kind of like toys in that one as well. Yeah. Like, they're just these like blue, like army men.
Yeah, that's the thing. Season 13 Sontarans looked so dope. They were
so
like
much better.
So much better. And it was just interesting, like after watching that. I mean, I used to love that story as a kid. I was like, this is top tier Doctor Who. And then rewatching it, I was like, it's fine. It's funny how you rewatch stuff when you're older and it might hit better or hit worse.
Yeah.
Almost. Like it's
like
different.
The Wilf and Donna stuff is what holds up for me.
Good. That's very good. That's probably like the highlight of those episodes. But it's interesting you say that, and you said before, Connor, about series 11 being your least favorite. It was very much my least favorite for ages, and probably maybe still is. But just like maybe this past week, I was like, oh, like I'm really feeling like some Jodie Doctor Who. Like I'm feeling the centenary's on its way, even though we've seen no marketing. But that's a separate conversation. but rewatching it, like I remember never really liking the Witchfinders, Demons of the Punjab. I was like, oh, come on. But now having all of like pretty much all of Jodie's era, I'm going back to those episodes. I'm really appreciating now. Demons of the Punjab slaps. Like that is a really that's a strong episode. Awesome. And I appreciated the Witchfinders for the first time. I was like, I didn't really like the what's his name. Is his name Alan Cumming? The actor?
Yeah.
Who played King?
Cummins, I think.
I was like, I never really liked that, but I enjoyed his performance in that. And Kablam, I like Kablam. I like Kablam.
Kablam
but anyway,
sucks.
I feel like Series 11, I actually appreciate way more now than I did back in 2018. And I don't know if it's just because I've, you know, done this channel for so long. You know, I've got a uni degree since then. Am I a wiser person appreciating film and story and stuff? I don't know.
We're thinking
big brain stuff
for sure. Like when we get to season 11, because I'm so interested to rewatch that era because I feel like I never really even gave it a second chance.
Yeah,
there are so many episodes in like season 11 and 12 that I only watched like one time.
I think back in like when was that? 2018.
You got me season 11 Blu-ray.
Has it even come out of the packaging?
Yeah. No. I did rewatch, I think, a little bit of season 11, but I got to about halfway and never really, like, the Ranscore of Koloss left, like, a terrible taste in my mouth. I was never really a huge fan of the New Year specials, except Eve of the Daleks, which I love. And I loved Flux. I think Flux was so fun. Like, you know, and Seedale was, just, you know, bit shit, but I'm keen as for the centenary. So I think now that we know that Russell's coming back and the future with like Shudi and all that and David Tennant and Catherine coming back, I think it will make you look back on this era with a bit more love, and you know that the future is like in safe hands. And it was a little bit scary before. Like there was a time when we didn't know what was going to happen next,
who
was going to take over, what showrunner was going to take over. It was in a bit of a dark place, and now that we know all that stuff, I think, you know, it's it's good. It's good, you know. It's in good safe hands, and yeah, it'd be interesting to rewatch. Sorry about the rain, by the way. It was sunny all day. I don't know if you can hear it.
I can't hear it at all.
Yeah, it just sucks. Is it heavy? The mics pick it up.
I feel like you apologize for that every single episode.
We do. This has been like the worst winter.
I don't know what's going on.
And because where we film, so we sort of built this shed like as an extension to my house, and it's like it was. Oh, a so
you're in a shed right now.
Yeah. So
damn, it looks like, cool.
Well, we made it like a nice thing because we knew we were going to use it as a gym, but then like we kind of got rid of half the gear. So now
the gym's
like,
on like this side that you can't really see at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, this is going to become my office space because I do a lot of like freelance work in here as well. Mm. So.
Now I understand what 50-50 means. It's 50% Doctor Who, 50% workout.
That, yep.
My God. Exactly. Wow. I didn't think of that. It's a 50% room.
Yeah. Let's talk about Face the Raven, guys. The episode that we are here for today. Face the Raven is the 10th episode of the 9th series of the British science fiction television series Doctor Who, first broadcast on BBC One on the 21st of November 2015, and was written by Sarah Dollard and directed by Justin Molotnikov, who I think directed last week's episode.
I think so.
In the episode, the alien time traveller, the 12th Doctor, is lured to a hidden trap street populated by extraterrestrial refugees in the centre of London after a death sentence. This is one of those descriptions that goes off and like does not have full stops and just keeps going and going. So I'm just gonna, we all know Face the Raven. Spoiler, it's the one where Clara dies. So we're just gonna throw that there, rip that band-aid off.
Mm-hmm.
What did we all think in 2015? Yeah, 2015, watching this episode. We'll start with you, Crispy. What did you think? What was your first opinion?
Okay, so back in 2015 was obviously the first time I watched this episode. But it was right after the Doctor Who Festival was in Australia. Mm-hmm. So I was fortunate enough to go there and do some interviews with some really, really cool people. Right after that, I was off to schoolies. So I had my schoolies in Fiji, which was really, really cool. And we did some like community, like, so we painted like a school and stuff. It was really, really nice. Not community service, not in prison. But the exclusive, yeah, my prison time. People wonder why I didn't upload much in 2015. So I did that. And so the first time I watched Face the Raven, I was like this with my phone, with my little iPhone 4, we're trying to get Fiji Wi-Fi to watch this thing. And I was like, oh, you know, it's 3 episodes to the finale. Like, it's probably not too important. Probably not too important of an episode. And I just remember seeing, you know, Clara's death and that being absolutely shocked. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to see all my friends who were like on, like the schoolies with me, and like, oh, what's wrong, mate? What's wrong, Chris? And we're like, mate, I've just had a rough afternoon. I've seen it.
I've lost someone.
I've lost someone close to me. I think it's a great story. I think it's a really, really great story.
Yeah. What about you, Connor?
I was insanely excited for it. Mm-hmm. They dropped this amazing TV trailer for it, which we watched last week, off the show. But I was so excited for it, and we were told it was all quite, you know, a little bit connected, you know, this will like lead into next week. And then obviously it was the final and stuff. And I was just so keen, and like, and they were bringing back Rigsy from season 8. And I really liked his character. I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, you know, it'd be cool to see him again. Mm-hmm. And it just from the trailer alone just looked like there was just like, you know, we saw some Cybermen in it and we saw a little bit of like the Ood and stuff. And it was like, okay, like, you know, they're going to be in the background a little bit. And Maisie Williams is back. And the trailer kind of gave the way that Clara was going to die, but it was also interesting to see if they were actually going to follow through with it and how they would do it. Because everyone was like, they're not going to do that. Like,
did they reveal that in the trailer?
It's like a kind shot of. There's a shot of her putting her hand onto Peter and like he's, you know, he's like kind of tearing up a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a shot of her like walking out going, let me be brave.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't see her die, but it's kind of those that
implied something bad's
like,
going on.
She's
probably
going
to die. So everyone thought they were like, they were just pulling our leg just to get us to tune in, and it would never happen, and it did. And I've always absolutely loved this episode. I've pretty much already said that, but yeah, I just think it's so colorful and beautiful. I love the trap street, the way it looks. So, it's almost like Diagon Alley, like Harry Potter vibes.
Yeah,
like,
it gives that vibe.
And it's a dark story that I think, you know, it kind of gets undone in Hellbent, which is I think why this episode can be a little less
not
enjoyable. Can't, yes, yes, and no.
That.
Well, to be honest, I haven't rewatched it in a while. I haven't rewatched Hellbent in a while.
Yeah, neither, yeah.
But I know she kind of comes back, but yeah. I don't remember how, but you know, she kind of does come back.
I think
so,
it's like she still dies a little bit. Like she just like goes off for a bit.
So yeah, she is dead in like in the well, but yeah. Yeah, no, I just think it looks so colorful and pretty. And I love how Maisie comes back, and it feels like a universe. Like she even mentions like the Zygons and stuff, and we had the Zygon two-parter like one episode ago, and it feels like that unit gets mentioned and stuff, and it really just feels like a world.
Yeah. I think I liked it as a kid, and I think I like it even more now. Like I'm constantly liking this more every time I watch it. It's so beautifully directed. I think it looks like,
oh
stunning. Man, 100%. Yeah,
the sets are lit so nice. Even the TARDIS is lit just like,
it's beautiful.
I don't know, there's like this magical nature. I think because the first scene they run in from out of the TARDIS doors, and it's got that like magical gold glow.
The beautiful haze.
Oh, lovely haze, yeah.
Yeah, my DP guy, every time we shoot something, he's like, we got to get the haze machine in the budget, guys. Let's go.
I love that.
And yeah, that looks, yeah, stunning. And I think the pacing's really good. I think in the middle it slows down a little bit, but like you're hooked really quick. Like it's really snappy. Yeah. It's like a montage, but it's not like a quick montage. It's like a montage of like scenes. That's just a montage. But you know what I mean? Like montages are just like a minute. This is like a 5-6 minute montage of them trying to find the trap street. And I think it's so like,
it looks so pretty, man.
It looks so pretty. It's so exciting. And it all, I don't know. It constantly from the start, it feels like a normal adventure, but there's just some kind of feeling to it. I don't know how to explain it. What it is, it's not quite foreboding.
The stakes feel higher.
It's just like, yeah, I think throughout the episode, they just rise the stakes. And you're kind of like, oh, they're probably going to get out of this. They always
and
do.
And then they actually don't, yeah.
They actually don't.
Yeah.
And then you see Capaldi be really mad at the end, and that's just something else.
He's so good in that scene.
But I will, just before we get onto that, one thing, when you're mentioning that whole, like, when they're trying to find the trap street thing, I love how that scene is directed, as you were saying. But I love at the end of it, it looks like they've filmed it the afternoon, like implying that they've spent like the whole day looking.
Yeah.
It's just like, they didn't like, they kind of do specify how long they spent when they're like, oh, you've only got like however many hours left. You kind of figure out from the maths, but just visually like, oh, they've been doing this for like the whole day.
Yeah.
Looking around. And it's really good. It's really, really fun.
It's a great thing story-wise, but also, like, it just looks pretty.
The
like,
colors it's so that, pretty. Yeah, the sunset.
They went out of their way, and, like, it wasn't even golden hour. It's, like, blue hour. Like, the sun's already set.
It's gone.
Like, they must have had, like, 10, 15 minutes to get those shots. And, like,
yeah.
So good. Yeah.
It's very pretty. Yeah, you're right about the stakes, though. And, like, you know, it just keeps going. And, yeah, you're right. Like, you do kind of feel like, oh, if this was any normal adventure, like, they'd get out of it. And I like how throughout season 9, like, it is building up that Clara's getting a bit too risky and taking all these risks. And I do like as well that it actually does pay off and actually go somewhere.
Yeah. In your guys' pod, when I think it was your newest ep when you were talking about your favorite episodes, I think someone mentioned Mummy on the Orient Express. And you were like, yeah, that's where Clara's arc starts. And that's exactly what we said in our review as well.
Oh,
like,
that's where her
arc into this I'm the Doctor kind of thing starts.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's good. Yeah. They've sprinkled that, like, very nicely. I mean, some people probably wanted it to be more prominent. Like, I mean, definitely I wouldn't mind seeing something happen in Series 7 where she's, like, addicted to the lifestyle. But, I mean, Series 7 was too focused on trying to figure out who Clara is, not working on who Clara should be. But regardless, I love that whole companion arc, and I think it's quite unique to Clara.
Yeah. And I feel like they could never really commit to it, though, without killing off Danny. So it's like everything is like a slow...
And like, Danny gets to mention as well, and it's really well used, I think.
That's good. Mentioned. That's true. One of my main criticisms was that Danny didn't get mentioned much, and there was a deleted scene for the girl who died where they mentioned Danny Pink, and I was like, why didn't they leave that in there?
Oh, really?
Because, I mean, there is a deleted scene where Clara, I think, is talking to Maisie or something, and Danny Pink gets brought up. Maybe it wasn't Maisie. I can't remember. But Danny Pink gets brought up, and I'm like, oh, that would have been cool. But it is nice that Danny gets a mention in this episode, but this episode, as you said, it does feel very connected. It almost feels as connected as we were mentioning before, like with the Atmos stickers in series four.
No,
like this episode is so like in universe with the Zygon thing, bringing Rigsy back, and the writer of this, Sarah Dollard, didn't even write Flatline or anything. So she obviously watched Flatline and was like, I want that character in my story.
It does feel connected.
It feels so connected, and you know, it's really well written, and we can only assume that's because Sarah Dollard is Australian, as we know. Australia's very good.
That's it.
Yeah, I love her work, man. Just she's really great.
She's as every screen person in Australia, she started out on Neighbours.
Yeah.
So there we go. And it doesn't say what her Doctor Who references are here. That's
she
great.
Did. She did Thin Ice as well.
Yeah, Thin Ice 10. As well. I think that might be her only two contributions.
I think she only did two. Yeah, which sucks because I would love more.
Boys, she did Merlin, which I didn't really watch, but she did Primeval.
Wait.
Oh,
I don't know. Did you ever watch that?
I don't think I've seen. Oof. I think my dad loves it.
It was like ITV's rival to Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. Do you know what it is? It's like dinosaurs and shit.
Oh, maybe I have seen it. I was about to say, is that the dinosaur show? Yeah, I haven't seen it in forever. Like a long time.
Yeah.
But I know of it.
A lot of it, like, it's real, like, 2005 Doctor Who CGI.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, heavily reliant on it. So some episodes, it's a bit like, oh, dear. But it's still great. And I love the characters and stuff. I didn't know she worked on that.
Merlin was a good show. I watched, like, the first, like, two seasons of that when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. But I really like her as a writer. Dude, like,
she's got her fingers really like in like all the big UK shows. She did Skins. She did Being Human. These are all shows that like I've seen episodes of here and there, but I know have cult followings.
One of Toby Whithouse's shows as well.
She's doing
The Game. Co-wrote episodes. Wow, with series creator Toby Whithouse. Yeah. Wow.
I've got to get on that Neighbours hype.
Yeah, it's going to end now. It's gone.
It's gone, mate.
Yeah. Australia's best TV show is gone.
Yeah,
it's massive in the UK. It's huge.
I know. It's bigger in the UK.
It's bigger in the UK than it is in Australia, which I find hilarious, and a lot of like the listeners here, I'm assuming, would find hilarious as well, because like, what?
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, we had a show in Perth called the Heights, I think.
The Heights.
And this was literally like 3 or 4 years ago it started, and it was a soap, in the way, I think it had like 20 to 30 episodes in its first season. And I've met the director from it. He's a really nice guy, who also did the K9 Australia show, actually.
Nice. There's a connection.
Amazing.
Very good.
Yeah. He's got some crazy stories about that show, man.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, and that was like, so it only ran for 2 seasons. It got cancelled. Well, it didn't get cancelled. It just didn't get
renewed.
And that was like 2 years ago. I think it last finished. But it aired in Australia and got pretty respectable figures. Uh-huh. And then they sold it to the UK, and the UK ate that shit up.
Did they like sell the rights, or did they just show the show?
They just sold the show as it was to be watched over there.
That's so cool.
And but yeah, and they still were like, no, we're not going to do season 3. And I'm like,
come on.
We finally had a TV show in Perth that was being seen in places, and we've just been dogged. I don't know. I don't know what happens in those decisions. That's not
it's,
me.
Yeah, it's pretty
money,
crazy.
Money happens in those decisions.
Money.
Big time. All right. So, what haven't I said yet? I think I've said pretty much everything.
great.
I just think it's got Doctor Who's best cliffhanger. I'm going to throw it out there. Like
best ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
I think so.
Wow. Like,
the Doctor, no TARDIS, no, Clara's died.
Dead.
And, yep.
You know, it's kind of like, who are these people that are coming for him? Probably going to be the Time Lords. And in hindsight, knowing it's the Time Lords that have stitched him up like this, it's like, it's pretty tense. Good cliffhanger. I'm a big fan of this.
Mm.
Raise me a cliffhanger beyond that.
When Amy's baby gets turned into pancake mix.
Don't worry about that one. Okay, that's rivaling it. That's
okay.
Pandora opens.
You guys.
Pandora opens. I'd say maybe Army of Ghosts. That shit sent me as a kid. I watched that shit live, and I was like, oh my
I'm
god.
I'm angry because you're both right. But I think this is a great
It's so good though.
No, the cliffhanger is really great, and you know, almost like, I remember when I watched this episode with my best mate Dan, I was like, oh, you know, don't, well, I won't show you the next Sun trailer. The best thing I think you can do is go into Heaven Sent by smart. Just like not watching it. And like, we watched that little, it's really cute at the end. I don't know if you saw the, it's like a little end credit.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a little end credit, like an end credit scene. And then they show the trailer. But I remember not showing them that. It's like, you know, just hop into it. And I think it's a great setup to the greatest episode of Doctor Who of all time.
Could be. I haven't watched it in years.
Of all time?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. I think also it's a really great idea with the whole Raven thing and the countdown.
Yeah. Oh,
I think it's a great concept. I think it's set up really well where you see someone else gets taken up by the Raven. Yeah. And there's a really good line by Maisie where she says, you know, would you show sympathy for a Cyberman? And it's actually just like a Cyberman, but it's just, you're getting to see the human form. Yeah. And there's so many different creatures in there.
I was kind of like,
why would a Cyberman have emotions?
With Trap Street, I was kind of like, they really have just gone like, here's all the hits of the Doctor's villains, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the one thing that was like slightly jarring. I was like, it'd be nice to maybe have some designs that were used like once or twice. You know, like whenever they do like a bar scene and there's all these designs in there that we don't really see very often, but they're used in those. It was a bit weird that it was all like
the BBC Sontaran, prop Dalek, department.
Cyberman. Yeah.
Give me all the old ones from like Rings of Akaten and then that'll do.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Millions from that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a really cool, unique story, which you don't get many stories like this, and I think a lot of components just came together. Well, oh, by the way, Murray's score was fucking fantastic.
Oh, yes.
So good.
Get me started. So good. He brings it out for this episode. It's very, so very good.
Mm-hmm. The amount of times where I just noticed it, and I was like, wow, he's the GOAT.
Like, sorry, just going back to that, like, scene where they're walking through the streets and stuff, I swear there's, like, a slight ticking in the soundtrack where, like...
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, come on. That's cheeky. I like it.
I love that. The score that plays when they're walking through, like, when they finally find the opening to the trap street.
Oh, yeah.
And that beautiful gold, like, warm look.
Mm-hmm.
I really have, like, pretty much nothing but good things to say about it. And it has a really good... a mystery attached to it, and again, I think when season 9 wants to be really good, it's great, and it's very unique, like getting an episode like Heaven Sent and Face the Raven like with each other is just, when you look at season 10 for example, like 9 and 10 are so completely different, and I think at least season 9 had a really good it knew what it wanted to be, and it was that. And I think, when it works, it's like top tier Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, like, looking back, because Series 9 is, definitely like a roller coaster. But the highs are, like, very high. I mean, obviously, like, Heaven Sent's, like, almost an outlier. It's that high.
Yeah.
And Series 10, a lot of people say, is Capaldi's best. And I pretty much agree with that statement, I think. But I mean, like, in that series, I feel like there's a lot of, like, good episodes. Like, it's just really solid episodes. But maybe apart from, like, the finale, I don't know if it necessarily reaches the same heights as your Face the Ravens and your Heaven Sent. I don't know if that's a hot take, necessarily.
No, I think you're right, yeah.
It's interesting.
I'll be interested because... I don't know if you know this, because I don't think we've mentioned this in quite a while in the podcast, but me and Connor are, like, shut off from watching any of the episodes that we haven't reviewed yet. So, like, when we first started this mid-2020, we went, that's it. We're not watching any more Doctor Who than, like, starting from Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time we get onto, like, a new Doctor, I'm like, thank God I can watch some more Matt, or I can watch some more Pete.
Mm. And, like, I can't love wait the to watch commitment, more boys. I love the commitment to the bit. That's very well stressful. Done.
Yeah, it's kind of hard sometimes to fit in watching it as well, because we do tend to leave it. Yeah, you guys watch all
the freaking Torchwood in your lunch break.
Yes. Oh, that's... Yeah, literally, in a couple of weeks, we're doing Children of Earth and Class. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
like, within a month. How the hell? It can be hard to fit in, but I'm really glad that we have watched them, and it's quite an achievement to say we've watched it from season one, like, all in order as well. It's pretty cool, but it makes you... I think the most interesting ones to rewatch will be season 10 onwards, because I never rewatched 10 much, and I didn't give really Jodie's era a try, so that's gonna be really interesting to rewatch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I didn't like 10 much at the time, other than the finale.
Yeah.
But like like looking back on it now, bear in mind I've only seen these episodes like twice, and I don't think the last time I watched them other than the finale was like when the Blu-ray came out, so like 3 months after the series came out. And I thought it was average. I never loved it, so I'm interested to see like the renaissance of it. Sorry, my nose is really, I'm really nasally at the moment. I'm just getting out of a cold.
So am I, mate. So am I. We're all good.
Yeah, it's gonna sound great on the audio. Two nasally boys.
Two nasally boys. Connor. Ed Connor. That's the name of this episode.
Clear sinuses.
And then with Jodie's era, it's like I do feel this weird nostalgic for the first season because like we've had Flux and even series 12 where it became a lot, like, and I like it. I like what we got. I enjoyed Flux. But I feel nostalgic for them, like, individual stories, because everything's so connected later in Jodie's run, which is, it's fun, and I'm glad they did it.
Yeah.
But there is, like, some niceness to the fact that you have 10 individual episodes, which, I'm sure they vary in quality and stuff, but as does every season of Doctor Who. So I'm keen to hit them up again.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see what
you
guys think about them, honestly. Because, as I was saying, just rewatched a few, and I've got a newfound appreciation for them. And if you guys haven't seen them, and like I've rewatched them quite a bit since that. Not quite a bit, not for a few years. But when they came out, like my routine was, when the episode of Doctor Who comes out, immediately on iPlayer, let's go. Like, I hadn't watched them in years, and I don't know, newfound appreciation. So I'll definitely be listening, boys. I'll definitely be listening.
I love it. Thank you very much. Well, I love to hear that you'll hear it.
So, boys, when I was doing some research for this, I came across something. I was like, oh, was that intentional? And I think it was. So you know how Riggsy forgot? Like, that's the whole main point of the episode, is that he forgot this incident. They say that it was through retcon, which is like a Torchwood thing.
Yes, yeah.
And I never twigged that.
What?
Yeah. Never twigged that was where they were going with that. I was like, that's really cool. So props to Sarah, like, Dollard once again, not just keeping it in the Doctor Whoniverse, keeping it Queen. With the extended media. Thank you very much.
It. So good. Yeah,
that's
no,
funny because I'm
glad
thought
you mentioned that.
I caught on that. Yeah.
I picked that up, but I like, and I think like I got towards the end of the episode and I was like, I got to make a note of that. That was really cool. And then I just completely forgot about it when I wrote my actual notes.
Well, so, I was looking through it, and there was like, I was like, oh yeah, like looking through the Wikipedia page just real briefly, and I was like, oh, is that a real thing? And anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Well,
it's very interesting. It's very good. That's a good transition, because we've not done this in a very long time. But I prepped for today's show, which means what we do have is Australia's, is it second, first, or third?
Australian's
second? I think it's second favourite segment, right? Goof of the Week was first.
Yeah, fuck. That's how long we haven't done it for.
We used to have like three segments at the end of each episode.
Oh,
and we
don't
do any of them now.
Yeah.
But, we're going to do, as a special, because Crispy's here.
Oh, stop, and, boys.
And because I had more time on my hands today, we're going to do Behind the Scenes. Behind the Scenes is the segment where we
love
pull
it.
Back the curtain of the episode and we have a look behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Woo!
So, a few interesting facts here. Let me get my clipboard ready to look all smart. All right, so this episode, I don't know if you guys noticed, but it's the first appearance of the velvet suit. Iconic.
Love the red velvet suit.
No way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really? Oh, wow. I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I've touched that in real life.
Yeah.
Can I just say? Because it's my favorite
suit. Actually.
I touched it at the Doctor Who Experience. Yeah. The actual red velvet one that Pete wore. Yeah.
Was it on display and it said do not
touch? It was on like, a headless mannequin.
Yeah.
And it was right at the end of the experience. And like, they have people, they have staff walk around the whole time to make sure no one's touching anything.
Uh-huh.
And no one's around. And I was like,
oh, nice. Nice.
It's my favorite suit. So I just did the old. And it felt fantastic, so I just say. It was just
that's
top quality.
Amazing.
It was a quality jacket.
I don't know if you guys noticed in this episode, there's a continuity error between.
No.
Episode six and this with Maisie Williams, right?
Okay.
So,
oh gosh.
Maisie, we love Maisie, but she got a nose piercing between the episodes. And so, she had to keep it in this. But because she's immortal, the healing thing should pop that thing out. I don't know. This is TARDIS Wiki facts.
Oh,
so I'm going from there. But, I don't know.
Wow.
my thought process is it should just grow around it. But
yeah,
I don't know. Look, TARDIS Wiki has
so you can't
the
get haircuts
and they
anything.
Say that's not right.
Your hair
that's
can't change either. Like nothing would happen with her body or.
Well, I think if she got a haircut, it would grow back like a normal person. I don't know why I'm amazed by that.
Right.
But, like
because she heals.
Yeah. So like, yeah, okay. She's got a nose piercing. Technically, it should heal up over that. Okay. That doesn't make sense. Maybe.
It might just be a clip on. Day. It might just be a clip on one.
Yeah, the clips.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That'll solve it.
We'll run with that.
We'll phone Sarah and
see what she's saying. Sarah, can you explain as to exactly the intention here? Oh, Maisie got a nose ring. That's it.
This is Doctor Who fans in a nutshell picking up on shit like that. Actually, that doesn't make sense because
she must be the hybrid.
She's the hybrid, folks.
Which, by the way, is a plot point that I know it's been mentioned.
It keeps getting mentioned, yeah.
Yeah, but I've not picked up on it this time. I know it's in like
it's
one,
in
two, like 5, 6, and 7, 8.
Like a hybrid.
Yeah, they keep saying that stuff. But every time we've been watching it this month, I've just like, that line's got over my head.
It's no bad wolf.
The episode, I'm like, when did they mention that?
No Torchwood, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird one. All right, one last fact here. This episode shares a lot in common with Earthshock.
Ah!
Now, Crispy, I know you're not a massive Classic Who fan.
Yeah.
Have you seen Earthshock? Because it's a big episode.
I have not at all.
Ooh, you got to do it.
I know, don't worry, I'm cooking something up Classic Who wise, as I've said for the past 10 years, but I am actually working on something.
I think you did say that ages ago on like a video or something.
Crispy's in the kitchen cooking something up.
Waiting for the right time.
Okay, yeah, I respect that. Okay, so, there is the thing that I noticed, right? So Earthshock ends, and you've probably seen this on Twitter, obviously, spoiler alert, this is the episode where Adric dies?
Yeah.
I don't know if... Yeah, okay. I didn't want to ruin that for you.
No. I knew that one, yeah.
Cool. All right. And it ends with... So, Adric's got this, like, golden star. And when the credits roll... I think it's the only episode of Classic Who that doesn't use a title sequence, like a time vortex at the end. Nor does it use any sound. And it's just a silent still shot of Adric's star broken on the ground. And so, the first thing that I noticed that was very reminiscent of that was the last... I think it's the last shot of this episode... Pete teleports and the last shot is his bracelet clanging onto the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a very similar shot to that. And I was like, interesting. Went and did my research. So, I think it might have been intentional. Because, so, when Pete and the gang, they're going through Trap Street and they're like, you got to count everything. A little bit of foreshadowing. So, Pete grabs a child and he's like counting. He's like, 80, 81, 82. Remember, 82. And it's very much like, you kind of have your attention drawn to it, and they just kind of move on for it. Well, 1982.
No,
and this is, I know this sounds like I'm pulling on straws here.
No,
but
no,
1982 was the year that Earthshock came out. And this is the first episode since that episode where a companion has been permanently killed on screen. So I think that's intentional. Because every other companion's like gotten out of it, or like Amy and Rory, they technically died off screen because they were angeled back in time and got to live out their lives, you know? So that's I think that's legit. Yeah. I reckon that was intentional.
I like that. I like that theory a lot. I like that theory a lot.
Well, that's another reason to really like the episode as well, is that like it was similar to Earthshot, where it was like at the time it was like, wow, like yeah, you know, like you said then about Amy and Rory, like you don't really see this kind of thing a lot. And I think that's why this episode stands out as well.
Yeah.
For being different, you know?
Yeah. It's
That is cool, like, though.
I know. I blow myself away sometimes, guys.
Did music play in the credits?
For this episode? Yeah. No, but I noticed that... Sorry, yes, it did.
Yeah.
For this episode. But I noticed that the To Be Continued that came up was silent.
Yeah.
So I don't know if
it
maybe...
Was. Right. I was thinking that when you were saying... I was like... Did they?
Yeah.
The credits. They did it, but it was definitely there was something different about it, and they definitely.
It was something different, and even with the end credit scene and all that, it's pretty. Yeah, I mean, what else to say? Really, it's just a great episode. It really Fantastic does stand on its own 2 feet, and it is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's very good. Crispy, do you have any last thoughts on Face the Raven?
It's great, and I never want to face the Raven myself.
No, that's a bad thing.
That's it.
That's a weird way to, like, imagine Moffat, like, pitching that to the producers. Like, all right, so, Clara, she's going to walk down an alleyway, and a raven is going to fly into her.
Boom!
And it's weird. I do think there is, like, one shot from behind her when you see her, and I do think that was, like, it made it look a little goofier. I don't know. Yeah. Seeing it from behind, it was a little bit weird. But yeah, it's a weird way to go out. I like it. I'm a fan of it. But it's a weird way to go. All right. Just before we wrap things up, Crispy.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about you. Okay.
Oh, gosh. Surely not.
No, we love talking about Crispy.
Oh, God.
Just like, you've made so many videos over a long period of time. How do you keep the juices going? How do you... What's your creative process?
The spark alive.
Yeah. Bundy, mate. It's Bundy. I don't know. My love for the show? I don't know. It's never... My love for the show has never really dwindled, I guess. I mean, like, I know a lot of people, you know, stop watching when Matt Smith came in. A lot of people stopped watching when Capaldi came in. A lot of people stopped watching when Jody came in. But I'm just so invested in this show. It's ridiculous. And I don't know, I've always got ideas for videos and stuff. It's just actually making myself do it. And now, like, I work full time, but I was able to negotiate a day off a week. So that definitely helps, with like Crispy Pro stuff, because I this is definitely my passion, but I'd love to turn it into something more. I'd love to be able to, you know, go to the UK, work with the BBC one day properly, not just be the Australian correspondent. But regardless, I just think Doctor Who's core message is brilliant. It's all about acceptance, all about change. And I think it's one of the best pieces of gosh damn television out there. So if little old Crispy has to make Taylor Swift videos to be out there, then so be it. But yeah, I don't know. I love the show.
Yeah, facts, man. That's a lovely way of putting it.
Mm. And I got one last question, and it's probably gonna make you blush. Okay. How do you maintain being like the nicest Doctor Who like person in the Doctor Who community? Like, genuinely, I don't think anyone can ever say a bad thing about Crispy.
It's true. Like, facts.
Oh, all right. That's very nice. that is quite the compliment.
You have opinions and stuff, but you still stay out of any beef and things like that.
Well,
so it's, yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't know. Like, there's always a lot of discourse. And, like, if I wanted to get involved with Twitter drama, sure, I could get involved with Twitter drama. No worries. But, like, I don't know. As I said, I know what the show stands for, and I think I should stand for what the show stands for, I guess. And, like, in saying that, like, I'll have opinions. I don't think Orphan 55 is great. I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to say that. But at the same time, you know, I'm not one of those YouTubers that will be like, oh, you know, the trailer got this many dislikes, you know, R.I.P. Doctor Who. Like, that's never been my intention. It's an easy way to get clicks, because the hate content out there gets those clicks for some reason. I don't know why. But I think I would say, yeah, I'm a positive guy in general, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it shows.
I just appreciate the compliment. I really appreciate the compliment.
No, awesome. We love it. We love your work. Shall we give a score to Face the Raven?
Okay.
Yeah? All right. Guest always goes first.
Oh, okay. Oh, how nice. How nice. Mm-hmm. I will give Face the Raven a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
9 out of 10, I think. Wow. I think I've got pretty high praise for it. I've got pretty high praise. Not too much wrong. I think the only thing I didn't particularly love, as you said, like, I feel like in the middle it gets a little bit slow, and I think that might be because of the whole subplot of the... Remember the character where they can look forward and backwards? And
yeah, that's
I guess they had to do it to kind of like close Riggsy's arc off.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I understand. But apart from that, it's just like banger after banger after banger, interesting story thread after interesting story thread, and then a massive payoff. I think Face the Raven's a good time, and you might shed a tear.
There you go. Yeah, I literally feel exactly the same. Like, the problem that you had with it being so in the middle, that's exactly sort of the only real problem that I had with it. And yeah, real good time. I didn't shed a tear, but I watched it and I was like, I think maybe if this was like a late night come back from the pub watch,
oh yeah,
maybe I could have shed a tear. You know, I watched this, I put it on at 5 a.m. this morning to watch it before going to work.
Oh, and, yeah.
So I was very much just like there with my coffee and being quite like, I don't know. That's my I want to soak up art information.
Right.
Yes.
And I don't get like as emotionally attached, but I soaked it in and I thought it was great. Also giving it a 9.
Nice.
Very nice. Yeah, I am also giving it a 9.
Oh my
Look
God.
Look at that, boys.
Oh, three of us. Goodness.
The 9 boys.
Does that happen? Does that happen? No. I swear I've never listened to an episode where you guys have the same score.
I don't think so. It does happen when it's just me and Connor from time to time. Probably like one season.
Yeah, it's quite rare when we'll give the same as each other, but with a guest.
Yeah, never in a guest.
Let's go.
I'm on the same score.
We're making firsts here today, people.
That's it. Woo. Big first. Big exclusive. That's great.
Yeah. Wow.
On to Heaven
Sent. On to Heaven Sent. Yeah. Wow.
Good luck, boys. You're in for a treat. Ooh, I've heard it's pretty good.
Yeah. I've been waiting for this for so long. Yeah, and it's pretty crazy that we're actually finally here.
Yeah. Good Rachel's content.
Yes, we love Rachel. Mm-hmm. It's an event, I feel like. And yeah, I'm gonna have to watch it in a special way, I think.
Yeah. In a special way.
Yeah, a few beers.
Ah, I see.
Put the fire the on.
What about the cleanse?
Yeah.
Cleanse a little bit, you know.
Fake. I do have to. I say have to.
There goes my cleanse.
It's my sister's engagement party this weekend.
Yeah.
So I've got a...
Oh, I see. Well, congratulations to your sister.
I don't have to... I'm sure she appreciates Crispy Pro said congratulations. She doesn't even watch Doctor Who.
Oh, neither does my sister anymore.
Hey, it's their loss. Their loss.
Yes, but... So, at that, I feel like I probably should have a few... I probably won't have beers. I probably have, like, gin, like, sugar-free gin to be a little bit... Nice. A little bit healthier.
So it's not even the weekend either. You're not even.
I'm limiting it on like yeah. I'm not.
Now that Frio's out, you're like I'm not drinking anymore.
I don't give a fuck about
footy anymore. I'm not caring about football.
I was wondering when the AFL talk was gonna come in.
Yeah.
That's all him. That is all him.
I was like so pumped, and you know, obviously they didn't get through to the next stage.
Yeah, to our English viewers, you must know because we were decked in Frio gear.
Yeah.
They did not get in.
They didn't get into the next round. And I was
what was that,
editing.
The semi-final or something?
They were in the
quarter-final.
Semi, yeah. And
yeah.
Prelim and then grand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yes, that was on Saturday night. They didn't get in. And so I was like depressed on Sunday, still wearing my Frio hoodie and like editing away. I was just listening to us talk about Frio for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm cutting half this out. Like,
oh, no, you poor bastard.
It was very sad. It was very sad times. But
Frio.
Yeah, do you watch footy AFL?
I've been to a few Lions games, but no, I'm not the massive AFL follower. But I love going to the live games. I love going to live games.
Huge.
So I guess I'm a Brisbane Lions supporter. I suppose I don't know.
Mm. Well, I reckon I'm going to back them going into the grand final.
So. Well, they do all right. They do all right. Yeah. Now they do.
Good show on Friday. So
yeah.
Interesting. Okay, cool. I think we should leave it there. You can hit Crispy up. Do you want to plug yourself, Crispy? You want to give all your things out there?
Just if you want to, I've got a channel called Crispy Pro and a little podcast called Who's There. But above all else, you should definitely subscribe to 50%. 50% Doctor Who podcast. That's where it's at. That's where it's at, boys.
Thank you.
So, and yeah, well done with the clips, Connor.
Go, Connor.
Thank you very much. There.
Thank
you. And well done, Aiden, with everything. You're crushing it. And I like seeing...
Well done, you.
I wanted to check out your short film. Didn't you make a short film like years ago? Or was it recent? I don't know.
It was recent, yeah. Well, I made a few. And so we're...
Gosh.
We're... there's actually right behind you concept art for the next one.
Right behind me?
No. Yeah, yes, in your room. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How did you get that here?
Right behind the monitor. There is concept art for the next thing that I'm developing, which is cool. Yeah, tend to do like one a year. So
very nice. Well, good luck with everything.
Thanks, man. Good luck with your podcasting, with YouTubing, and hopefully you can be working for the BBC down the line.
It's happening.
Hashtag Aiden
not
for showrunner.
That's it.
Yes. Aiden and Crispy for showrunner. Who will get it?
Let's go.
Who's gonna get it? Who's gonna get it?
Let's go.
Oh boys, no. If we get to the top, we'll take each other. We'll take each other. Yeah, we'll run the show. Sarah Dollard will be main executive producer.
Love it. Bring her in, queen.
Sensational.
By the way, so you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 50 Doctor. But. And this is like a funny one because when I like messaged you, I was like, oh, this is a bit weird actually. So Connor's on Twitter at Haddon Connor. I'm on Twitter at Greeny_pro. I would like to clarify that that was never me trying to copy Crispy.
Wondering. I saw that username and I was like, is that
this guy?
Is that a reference? Is that a reference?
No.
Oh my.
So like,
wow.
Back when I used to make a lot of like vlogging YouTube videos and stuff like that, I was... Because my last name's Green, I was Greeny Productions. Yeah. So when I made my Twitter, it was greenie_pro. Pro, is that where the pro comes from for you?
That's so funny, because it's the exact same thing, except I messed up when I was typing my YouTube username. I was just supposed to be Crispy Productions. But in the URL, it said Crispy Pro Productions, because I misspelt it. So I just ran with it. I just ran with it. But that's funny. Yeah, it's the exact same thing. It's just supposed to be Crispy Productions, but it's taken on a whole new meaning. So I'm now the most professional Crispy out there time.
We love more Crispy than the Crispy Master. How's that? Bringing it
the Crispy Master, bringing it full circle.
Woo! All right, so this is the time. It's incredibly awkward when we have guests on.
No,
and
it's
we
not.
Have to sing our
sing
song.
Along, boys. Sing along, boys.
Far
it's,
out.
It's a good time.
Far out.
I don't know. Don't be nervous.
Don't it's be fun. Nervous. I'm a generous critic.
That's it. You tell us your honest opinion afterwards. All right.
All right.
Oh lordy.
Let's go.
All ready? Right, ready.
Count me in.
It's Aiden and Connor's podcast. They're doing Doctor Who reviews
with Doctor Who.
Oh,
we're getting bad at that. I think we're starting to say different words every time.
Yeah, voice. Well, sometimes chuck in the remix, change the lyrics a little bit. Crispy's on feature this week. We had Vinny a few weeks ago.
Yeah, what's Crispy's review?
Listen, lads, I really like what you brought to the table today. I really think you had some excellent singing, some excellent a cappella, and I really enjoyed it.
Love it.
You know what? I'll give it a 10, boys. Okay. I'll give it a 10. Yes! I'll give it an absolute 10.
That's a 10.
You're going to Vegas, boys. You're through to Vegas.
50% forever, baby. Let's get it.